This is a segment from The Annex, an academic sociology-themed podcast. For more, visit us on the web at theannexpodcast.com.
So I'm trying to force myself to learn R this year, which I have tried to do many times. But this year, I have two commitments that I've made. Number one is I'm not allowed to play any video games for the rest of 2017, because those are apparently substitutable goods in my mind.
Now, did you check what the release date was for Red Dead Redemption 2 before you made this vow?
Spring 2018.
Okay, so I'm safe. Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah, you didn't have to Google that.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly.
It was supposed to be September.
Oh, yeah. Really? Okay, well then, that's good that it worked out. But the second one is that, this is much harder, well, it depends on the day, but it's much harder. I'm not using Stata at all this year, which for me is like not speaking English, essentially. So,
Wait, I have a question. Yeah. Because, you know, statistics and video games are kind of interchangeable in my mind, too.
Yeah.
And you want, like, they are. It's a Skinner box, right? You're like,
exactly.
Hit enter.
Jeez.
Yeah. And am I going to get an awesome result or am I going to crash and burn?
No, I do think that's never happened.
Statistics isn't interchangeable with video games, but like video games are more interchangeable with like leisure reading. Like I do a lot less just reading that's not directly related to work, or maybe eventually somehow it'll be related to work now that I have a PS4.
Oh, right. Now, that's, yeah, for me, audiobooks have crowded out real reading.
Totally. If it's available on audiobook, I'll get the audiobook.
But yeah, but video games in Stata or video games now in R, those are like correlated for me. Definitely scratches a similar itch. Yeah. So yeah. So,
how are you finding the transition to R?
It's, yeah, I mean, like, I'm glad I'm like sort of post Tidyverse, you know, like that makes things a lot easier. So I was worried primarily about the conventional wisdom is that data manipulation is actually much easier in Stata than in R, and so estimating a model is not that hard or whatever. But with DeepLayer, that has been really quite easy actually. Like the basic verbs for that I find really easy, and so like that was the thing I was most worried about, and that's been the thing that's kind of been the most satisfying, because I'm doing some big data stuff where I'm moving, you know, huge data sets around, and it's been really satisfying. So it's going well. I mean, you know, every once in a while, it's just very simple things. I'll run into a wall, like making, you know, a graph or whatever. I'm just like, you know, that's what kills me. But yeah, for just moving data around, like renaming stuff, creating new variables, sorting, merging, all that type of stuff's actually been pretty easy. And the models are never that hard. But yeah, it's just, you know, it's funny. You never know what you're going to run into. And all of a sudden, you just go from, you know, things working to just a wall where you're just like, I don't know that word. Like, I don't know how to say this. I have no idea how to circumlocute. You know, I'm done. You know, so yeah. That's
Are you missing loops? Are you missing loops?
I know the R banter that has emerged around, you know, actually the podcast, you know, was a sort of center of this. Yeah, if you can't vectorize your loop, then, you know, you can't do anything. So I actually do miss loops. I miss loops a lot.
But you can still do the loops.
You can do
those. I mean, your computer is so fast now.
Yeah, I know.
So what, it takes 10 seconds instead of 5 seconds to, but you feel like you get to live. Right, you get to experience life, even if it takes 10 seconds to execute.
No, it's
loop
true. It just feels like I want to learn. Like if I get a fresh start, I want to learn the right habits. I guess. I mean, not even the right habits, but like the grammatical habits. Like, it works when you say things wrong. People understand you, and it works.
Yeah.
But it's like you don't sound right, and so yeah, that's part of it. I just wanted to look right, the code to look right.
Why'd you make the change?
Yeah, it was a number of things.
Peer pressure, right?
Well, that's part of it. No, I mean, part of what happened was, like, you know, I teach the first year statistics sequence, you know, here at Duke. I have done for a long time and did it at Berkeley the last year I was there. And I really like doing it. But one of the things that happened here over time is that, like, we just had more R users move in. So Kieran Healy teaches his visualization course in R, and Chris Bale does his big data stuff in R. And for Jim Moody's networks class, they do a lot of stuff in R. And Scott Lynch does, you know, SEM and Bayesian stuff in R. And so, like, so what happens gradually over the, you know, 6 years that I've been here, we have, you know, we've hired people, or like software has changed in a way that has made it so, like, my downstream consumers, you know, essentially need to know, you know, they want people who know how to use R. And so, you know, I always try to think about what's best for the program, partly because I'm DGS, you know, so it's like, I figured, you know, if I was the DGS and somebody else was teaching this in Stata, would I want them to teach it in R? The answer was yes. And once I sort of realized that was the case, the decision was pretty easy. Plus, it's one of those things that's always been on my, I wouldn't say exactly bucket list, but it's been something, but it's something that I've wanted to do for a while. So it kind of was a good opportunity.
I'm kind of in the same position you are in that I teach first quarter stats at UCLA and have for like 10 years.
Yeah.
But our whole stats sequence is mostly taught in Stata. So, we have five stats courses plus a couple of demography courses, and everybody who teaches them is very comfortable in Stata.
Yeah.
Because traditionally our stats courses have been taught by demographers. And if you're just doing demography, Stata's wonderful.
Oh, absolutely.
We're starting to develop a computational cluster. We have a critical mass of computational faculty.
Yep.
And Stata's not good for anything that's not rectangular.
No, it's
so
true.
But still we have this issue that, most of the upper division, well, not upper division, most of the later advanced classes are taught in Stata.
Yeah.
So what I've done is I've started, starting this year, I'm teaching in both languages.
Oh.
And, which is forcing me to learn R.
Yeah.
Now I still will very mischievously use for loops, just as like an act of defiance, I'm having to learn it in order to write it for the students because I figure even if hardly any of the students are interested, it forces me to learn it. And it also kind of nefariously pushes, even though I'm a Stata person, not an R person, it pushes the curriculum in the direction I ultimately want to see it go, which kind of give equal weight to computational, traditional quantitative sociology.
Yeah,
I think you have to do it. I know in our data analytics master's program, the only jobs that were for Stata were research assistant jobs.
No, I heard you mention that on the podcast. That was actually really, I had not thought about that, but that was a really compelling reason to me. I think was that on your first episode, I think. And if people are going to go into industry or whatever, it's just a way more valuable skill.
No, I totally agree with that. And I put that in my notes that I gave actually a month before class started. I sent out to all the grad students who are going to take it basically this memo saying, should you just learn Stata or should you learn Stata and R? And, I kind of had a bullet point of the pros and cons. And one of them was like, if you think there's any chance you're going to get a job in the private sector, you should learn R.
Yeah,
I'd say so. I always tell them that learning R is like learning a foreign language. Mm-hmm. You just need to not be afraid of it.
Yeah. It's like learning a foreign language that has a shitload of irregular verbs and a case marking syntax.
That's right.
Just Stack Overflow. Learn the basic grammar and Stack Overflow, Stack Overflow, Stack Overflow.
Well, that's interesting because, back when we were in grad school, I don't remember anyone teaching us how to use anything.
Yeah.
Right? Stats was basically just,
Bruce Western taught in R.
He taught in S+, but proto R.
Yes.
Cro-Magnon R.
Yeah.
So, did you guys take stats through sociology or through Woody Woo? Because when I took it, we took it through Woody Woo. I had it with CC Rouse, and she taught in Stata.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. We did too. But Leslie, since our Bruce Western class in 2000-something, there's been a lot of developments, like with R Studio and the Hadley Wickham packages. Like it's so much easier to learn and so much more of a pleasure than it was 10 years ago.
Princeton Social is now 100% R.
No, but I kind of felt like it was like, whatever, sink or swim. I'm going to show you how I did this in Stata. But back then Scott was like, use SAS, right?
SAS.
And then migrated over to R.
I don't remember Scott ever using SAS. I thought he used, I remember him talking about B rugs a lot.
he would use SAS.
First of all, Scott can do everything. Scott would write a C program if he needed.
I know. But that's the thing. Like I don't recall anyone saying, look, here are basic programs, right? They were just like, whatever, use Stata and that was it. And you had to figure it out. And there were people who were migrating over to R, but I don't know. Is that a difference? And I don't know because we don't have a grad program here. Oh, right. That's why I'm asking.
Well, the pedagogy of teaching a package, it's one of those things I think you're right. It's implicit. It's often implicit in what the people are learning. But I'm using this thing this year called Data Camp, which is a paying service. But like, if you're using it for a class, you get it for free for you and the class for like 6 months. And yeah. So I highly recommend that.
I use that too on Matt Salganik's recommendation. Yeah, they don't support Stata, obviously. They support R and Python. And we keep talking about R, but you know, Python is an incredibly useful language. Yes. Nobody Absolutely. Really uses it. I guess some people use it for stats, but if you're doing anything but stats, Python's actually a much better language than R.
Yeah. Do you have, on that point, have you noticed that there's a lot more younger sociologists, like the outgoing crop, there's a lot more Python than there was? And I'm wondering if like R is the next dinosaur and we're like those old coots who would be describing SPSS, back in the day.
No, it's a risk. It's a risk that I have thought about quite a bit, actually, especially with Python, you know, stuff that's related to computational text analysis and things like that that I'm doing more of. Mm-hmm. And so the workflow for that seems to be a lot of people are doing a lot of text processing in Python and then bringing things back in and analyzing the data in R. And, you know, you see down the road, you know, 5-6 years, you know, you can imagine a world where people are doing all that stuff, you know, in Python, especially if someone comes up with a better workflow for that. So there's always that risk, I guess.
But. Yeah, so I have a workflow. I have a back burner project where I scrape Twitter using Python.
Yeah.
And then I, you know, use regular expressions and everything to pull it and basically prepare the data set in Stata. Mm. And then I export that to PIAC format. Mm-hmm. And then I do the visualizations and the and any kind of like exponential random graph models in R.
For more, visit us on the web, theannexpodcast.com.